From the Schmoes No Network Studios in Los Angeles, California, it's time for the Jedi Alliance, a celebration of the greatest saga ever told with your hosts, Ken Napsok and Maud Garrett.
Hello, Schmoville. How are you on this beautiful, balmy evening? You are watching or listening to Jedi Alliance, a celebration of the greatest saga ever told. Yep, Star Wars. We are all over it, Ken.
That's right. And it's been another great week with you guys, the fans, getting involved. We are climbing up the charts on iTunes, and that is just because of you guys who are following and it's rating and reviewing and subscribing, all those things you need to do. It's like your Jedi homework.
Basically. That is your Jedi training to become a Jedi Knight. Basically.
And we have a fan-started Instagram page.
Certainly do. Just look up Jedi Alliance on Instagram. Give it a like and follow because there's a bunch of pictures that keep getting up there and we don't do anything about it. It just happens. It's like magic.
It's magic. It's Queen Amidala pictures suddenly appearing out of nowhere. Mm. I like it.
And of course, if you are on Facebook, and most of you are, just follow the Jedi Alliance on the Schmoes No Network on the Facebook page because Duel of the Fates every single week will be up there and your vote counts. What did we have on Jedi Alliance last week?
Last week, we debated quite fiercely with Jenna Bush. Who was the better battle leader for the Rebellion? General Jan Dodonna from A New Hope or Admiral Ackbar?
Mm. And those of you that answered, it is a trap! Because we calculated the results and Admiral Ackbar did double the amount of votes that Dodonna got.
But it was a little bit of a landslide. I took the Dodonna side and I stand by that, though it was close as we discussed. The one thing I was glad to see in the comment section, the debate raged on. A lot of people kind of wanted to toss the good general aside, but someone pointed out he was the first to say,
May the force be with you.
In a Star Wars movie, show, comic book, anything. He was the first one. So I think he gets points for that. So he goes down to defeat in the Duel of the Fates debate, but he has that.
There will be another one today that's coming up very, very soon. But first, what do you reckon we get straight into this? We've got a wonderful guest on the show today. He is all about, he's looking around going, who? He's on Smosh Games. You know him as Joven Shy, but, oh no, what is it? What's your actual one? Yeah, no, I got it right. Because he mixes his first name and last name together quite ironically.
It's kind of like a Sith Lord of sorts.
Is that how you do it? You're supposed to say...
You just come up with some kind of cool
your
code
Jedi name.
Your name
is like the last two letters of your name with the first two of your first name and then, like, you know, mix it up.
Hey, let's let him tell us what it is. It's Joshua Ovenshire. Come on up to the big chair.
Get in here. Look at the round of applause that's happening.
I'm so excited to talk about Star Wars stuff now.
This is it, man. This is it. Welcome to Jedi Alliance.
Great to have you on, Josh.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about Smosh Games and what you do over there.
So Smosh Games is the video game branch YouTube of the Smosh YouTube channel. So they do like their sketch comedy, and we do, as I like to call, video game shenanigans. Mm. So it's not really like a Let's Play channel, which you see a lot of on YouTube. It's really based around us, the personalities, and we utilize like the video games almost like a tool for humor. For example, one of our shows is Grand Theft Smosh, which is just us playing as ourselves in the Grand Theft multiplayer world, so mm-hmm. we have like just random things that could happen possibly, and explosions and us dying to each other over and over and over. Plus we have one of the newest shows we just launched was, you guys may know, Honest Trailers. Mm-hmm. Well, now we do Honest Game Trailers with them.
Oh, it's a crossover appeal?
Yeah, so we have like the same writing teams, like we meet up with them, we have the same John Bailey doing the voice of them. It's a lot of fun.
That's great. I love that segment on Screen Junkies, and so it sounds fun. And you are a big Star Wars fan, I know.
Yes, I grew up very much with it, just in my DNA. My dad was a huge fan, so as soon as I could comprehend what visual things were, he had me right in front of the TV learning the ways of the Force.
Well, I'm glad you get a chance to talk Star Wars with us.
Mm, we're actually going to go in depth with you about Star Wars. We've got five questions. We kind of just touched on the first one already. So let's just get into it. The very first time you watched Star Wars, when, where, how?
Wait, it's really funny because one of my very first Star Wars memories is actually probably the earliest memory I can remember as a child. I was about 3 years old. Whoa. And I remember just one moment from watching it. Was when Chewbacca yells at the mouse droid on the Death Star. And it's like one of the first times you hear him yell. I was so frightened by this. I got up and ran as much as my 3-year old legs could, like down the hallway to hide in my closet.
From Chewie?
Yes. So I was less afraid of the monster in my closet than I was Chewbacca.
So that little mouse droid goes off, and that's also you going off.
That's exactly what happened. I was the mouse droid. But I think one of my, the greatest Star Wars memory that I have was the first time I saw episode 1. now say what you will about the prequels, but leading up to it was so much anticipation, much greatness. And I went to a midnight screening with my dad. We waited in line for like 24 hours.
Whoa.
And in the theater, it's so quiet. It's so quiet. You see the opening of it where it's like a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And right before the music starts and the start, I'm just getting goosebumps remembering this moment. But like it just seemed like the longest moment in history. And as soon as the words hit and the music starts, and just everyone erupts in so much cheer.
Yeah.
As I was a youngin' at the time, 13, I think. And I just remember being like, this is the greatest moment of my life. Like, it's here.
I know what you mean. When I Phantom Menace saw in the theater, midnight showing, explosion of the crowd, just cheering, chills, got tears in my eyes. Also had tears at the end of the movie for different reasons. But I know you can't take that moment away from us. You
like,
can't take it away.
Say what you will, but it was Star Wars. It was everything Star Wars was supposed to be. The lead up for the next generation and just all embodied in one moment where everyone was cheering, lightsabers were going off. It was fantastic.
Yeah, lightsabers in the air. What of the six? What's your favorite film?
It's five. Empire Strikes Back. Gotcha. Mainly because I love movie scores. I grew up listening to all of those, and I love all of the music from Empire Strikes Back. The Battle of Hoth is one of my favorite orchestrated numbers.
Yeah.
Because it like Duel of the Fates, Battle of the Heroes are amazing pieces.
We were talking about this off air, actually. Yep. I was listening to this soundtrack driving in today.
What better way to get ready for the show?
I'm pumped.
Blame you at all. and just the Battle of Hoth, like the way it starts off so menacing and then it just turns into like the action number of it. So, And then of course, Bounty Hunters.
Yeah, you like the bounty. It's kind of that dark, gritty side
of
the galaxy.
Yep, I remember reading the Bounty Hunter Tales with the whole Boba Fett trilogy. It was good.
All right, that brings us into our second question. Your favorite character and why?
I'm sure so many people would always answer this question, but I have to go to Han Solo. And not just because he's that cool guy that everyone wishes they were, but his character is so deep. And you see a lot of it in Episode 4. For example, like he puts off like this. He wants to be the badass. He wants to be that guy. But really, he's just soft and adorable on the inside. He's got Chewbacca, his best friend, hanging out with him. He saved his life. Of course, you can stay. But of course, like you know, he loves him just as much as Chewbacca probably loves him. And he's just like this good person on the inside. But he puts out this, no, I'm the bad boy. Don't get too close to me. And you know what? I kind of relate to that. I like to see myself as that bad boy of the galaxy. But on the inside, just, all I want to do is cuddle up and watch a romantic comedy. What can I say?
Aw, he's nice, man.
There you go. You actually have the same favorite character.
Yeah, I couldn't deny that because he just is who he is. He also spawned just a generation of tweeners, which is a pro wrestling term for not a good guy, not a bad guy, just kind of a guy down the middle, kind of an anti-hero.
It's the best.
Yeah.
You get the best of both worlds there.
I thought it was chaotic lawful. We've been over this. You do wrestling terms, I do Dungeons and Dragons terms.
There you
yeah,
go.
That's how we do it.
Chaotic lawful makes sense.
Then we put it all into Star Wars. Joshua, if you were a Jedi.
Oh, I am.
Or maybe you're a Sith. What would be your favorite Force power?
So, fun fact, I've had some very interesting run-ins with...
He's an actual Jedi.
Yes, I am. Fun fact, I am a Jedi. I've been electrocuted a few times. Once.
What?
Yes.
Shouldn't laugh. That's bad.
It was because I was actually pronounced dead from one of those shocks.
What the hell?
Hilarious.
So, and then like only a few short weeks after that, recovering from that, I was changing a car battery. Should not have been doing that. I learned what the term closing the circuit means, or completing the circuit.
Completing the circuit.
Which was another very strong shock. So now I have this fascination with electricity. And I honestly, anytime I'm holding a metal fork, I'm like, you know, if I put this in an electrical socket, I'm one good zap away from being able to go Palpatine on someone's ass.
Let's do it right now here. Can you look at
like,
on?
Yes.
Can you do the "now you will die" line? Can you do that? With
now
it?
You will die.
Yeah. I like it. He's got that power.
So the Sith lightning. Just how you can do so many great things with that. If I was to be a superhero, I could utilize that, or in my case, an anti-hero because
you are.
You'd be killing people.
Of the galaxy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing.
We're learning a lot about this guy here. I'm not going
to
let him look at my car.
I know the best to answer five as well. Number four, though, what is the quote from Star Wars you find yourself using all the time in day-to-day conversation?
Oh, man. Well,
I've already said most impressive to you.
Yes. Like, I know such a good go-to. A lot of people like online, it's like, oh, I love you. I'm like, I know. But honestly, my favorite Star Wars quote, fear. Fear attracts the fearful. The strong
the weak, the innocent, the corrupt. Fear. Fear is my ally. I love that line so much.
Which is a Phantom Menace trailer clip for Darth Maul that never appeared
they
in the
never
movie.
Used, like when they show this, like they're showing off Darth Maul and all this, like all the trailers and the music video.
Yeah.
And you're like, this guy's gonna be amazing. His dialogue is amazing. And then they never used it.
Yeah.
How many times have you said that though? It sounded very rehearsed.
Three times in the car on the way here.
Yeah.
Once in the mirror last night, and once while watching Game of Thrones last night.
Well, that's a perfect crossover.
Yeah.
It works there, too.
Yep, it does.
It's a great speech. And Maul, yeah, it speaks to Maul as a character. We're going to talk about Maul a little bit later. I that's a great, great little clip from Phantom Menace. Again, never appeared in the movie.
And the one who did voice the line was not Ray Park, who played Darth
Right.
Maul.
Peter Serafinowicz, I believe.
There you go.
Bless you.
Yeah, who was just in Guardians of the Galaxy. He's the one who's, what a bunch of a-holes.
The circle of life is complete.
My mind was just blown.
I think Ahmad Dahla here is right. I think we know the answer, but I'm going to ask you this, my young apprentice. Would you ever turn to the dark side of the Force?
In a heartbeat. Okay, I say a heartbeat. Now here's the path with it. You have to start off as a Jedi because you need the
midichlorians.
The midichlorians. You need the discipline. But there's too many rules in the structure of the Jedi. I wouldn't be able to work with that. So I'd go over to the Sith. I'd learn the rest of the powers, but come on, let's face it, they are maniacs. So now that I know both sides of the Force, some of which are natural, some of which are very unnatural, and now I just take all of it and become a bounty hunter right down the center.
He likes that bounty hunter thing. I like what you're saying is you're going to use the training, which I'm sure is expensive for the Force, the Jedi.
Start quite young as well.
Yeah, so he's going to use their training up to the point where he's like, I don't want to pay these college loans. I'm going bad. I'm leaving. And then he becomes a bounty
hunter.
There
you go. So you get a little Force lightning in there. You get a little bit of the speed and the...
He's kind of a scoundrel, Mon.
Ooh.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Sublimous.
I play scoundrel in Knights of the Old Republic.
Ah, well, there you go.
But, yeah.
My wonderful co-host here has... She's so good in her heart. She just has... She won't accept the dark side of the Force.
No, I can't do it. I feel so bad.
I even put little Darth Vader pop vinyl in front of her, hoping that he'll switch her at some point in the week.
It's baby steps. You just find yourself taking like, maybe a little bit of this.
I am impatient, though. I'm very impatient as a person, but I will never give in to my fear or my anger.
Maybe you can change that quote a little bit. Impatience is my ally. Maybe that could work.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm glad to know that we have such a passionate Star Wars fan at the desk with us today. This is going to be fun. And we got now our segment, Renewed Hope, this week in Star Wars news with, of course, Queen Ahmad Dahla, who is going to address her people.
Thank you, Master Kenobi. Always a pleasure. Okay, story number one to the people of the Council. Plot rumors of Episode 7 by Latina Review announces what will happen in the movie. Also, a familiar face is to make a comeback in not one, but two movies. All right, guys, if you are watching this and you don't want spoilers, spoiler alert! So what I'm going to do every time I start a spoiler alert is wave my hands around like
Kermit the Frog?
A Sarlacc. I was going to say the Sarlacc and the Sarlacc pit, but whatever. Only in the digitally altered version, though, because that's when he's got the ten. Anyway.
Or the Super Nintendo version.
Yeah.
What?
Because in the Super Nintendo version of Super New Hope, when you're running through the first stage of Tatooine, you'll be like, hey, what's that? And the sentence like this little pit. Then all of a sudden, this Sarlacc pit just kind of pops up with its arms laying around, and you have to shoot it down.
That's exactly what I was
Fun
doing.
Fact. Exactly what she meant.
Cool. Great. So here are the spoiler reviews. Now, the usual suspects, JediNews.co.uk and Indie Revolver, and of course, Latin Review, have leaked bits and pieces about the possible plot line for over a year. But now, Latina Review has revealed a big chunk of Ep 7. This is what they think will happen in the movie. I really don't want to upset any spoilers for someone.
Double spoiler alert.
All right. The breakdown is Luke's lightsaber and maybe his hand crash lands on a planet that leads Daisy Ridley and John Boyega on a search for Luke. Now, this leads them to Han and Chewie, who aren't in the Millennium Falcon because that's who Oscar Isaac has the Millennium Falcon for that. They're looking for Luke, who he's been missing in action since Jedi, but he's not hiding. He's a captive. Right, so that's what's going on with that storyline.
Right.
They've also announced that Emperor Palpatine will be back. Not only at Ep 7, but 8. So last time we saw him, we thought he died. Yeah. He got thrown by Vader down the...
Pretty convinced he died.
But you know what,
in
though?
In my head, yeah.
Luke had this, a very similar fate where he was thrown down, you know, a very
true
tumbling thing, whatever okay that was, on Cloud City, held on, Millennium Falcon rescued him. He's still alive.
Okay.
Could the same thing be happening?
But the big difference between those two scenarios is when Palpatine falls down the center, there's that whole giant explosion of Force and evil.
Yeah.
Yes, but the Sith have discovered a technique where they can not die.
That's true. Which Palpatine in Episode 3 does mention that to Luke. So that
no, I mentioned that to Anakin.
Anakin.
And that's why Anakin was like really kind of swayed by the dark side, yeah, because immortality is one
can
of the
I
most...
I learn this? Not from a Jedi.
And who knows, Darth Plagueis, he was working on the ability to keep himself alive. Maybe that... I know further more about this rumor that they're saying that the Emperor might be back, but maybe not in his body.
So that picture that we showed last week of the cyborg obsessed with Vader... could be the Emperor.
Could be.
Well, I know in
because
the,
he's all charred up and
yeah, in the
mangled.
Even in the EU, they talk about there being clones of Palpatine, which makes sense in the lore of Star Wars, at obviously being clones. Mm. So yeah, it could have transferred from one to the other. Is that something that we want, though? We do have a new trilogy. Do we need
that's
still the same?
Great question. That's a great question. Is it something you want as a Star Wars fan?
Well, we already know that the Inquisitors are going to be a large right part of that. I think that the Emperor Palpatine needs to be in charge of them as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he's not like, you know, he's still sort of like a wandering figure, which is what he's been throughout all of the movies. He's kind of played a key position, and then he does a switcheroo. I mean, I would rather see Vader back in more than a flashback.
Right.
Instead of Emperor Palpatine, but apparently a new actor is going to be playing him.
Hmm. As a fan, and I know we're all big fans here, the idea of seeing them again on screen in some sort of fashion is exciting. But from a storytelling standpoint, I hope it doesn't come off as, hey, we're going to throw you all what you love. Remember those guys? They're back. Yeah, exactly. You know. Maybe, is this because we're not getting Wedge and they're trying to, you know, more Palpatine, less Wedge? I don't know. Josh, well, how do you feel? Do you really, really want to see them back?
My opinion is the same as when they were first rumoring about the Han, Luke, and Leia coming back. And honestly, yeah, I didn't.
Okay.
I felt like their story was told, but the universe continues. Now let's focus on that. So then they did announce, I was like, all right, well, give me just like one small scene as a cameo and then move forward from it. But now they're a much part larger part of the new saga. So with Palpatine and a flashback with Vader, cool. If it's there, if it's for a scene or very like a small presence, I can see that working.
Yeah,
because there's so many things that didn't work in Episode 1, 2, and 3 that they need to go back and fix in 7, 8, and 9. And one of which is having a strong, prominent bad guy throughout all three movies.
Mm.
So I think the best way to do that is just to introduce a new villain and let that be the ominous figure throughout.
Good point. I like that point a lot. That's definitely something the Phantom Menace clones and Sith lacked. Yeah, he had Palpatine, but he was growing. He wasn't the same guy all the way through. Next issue...
spoilers over! You can come back to us now because this isn't a spoiler. There are three new trailers that have been released for Star Wars Rebels. All right. Obviously, we are getting closer and closer to the release date here. They're trying to get us super pumped. The three trailers are Tough Guy, which has got a focus on Zeb, and he's more the scoundrel this time around. Shows off that he's very brash and tongue-in-cheek for a Jedi. There's also Something Big featuring Ezra, so you can see that he's got a huge weight on his shoulders. He's kind of realizing the impact that there are still Jedis around and that he is, what do they call it, which I kind of giggle at every time. He's been touched by the Force or something.
Show us on the lightsaber where he touched you.
He's force inclined or something like that. I don't know. I tweeted about it and got the giggles over it. And then, of course, there is Tyranny of the Empire. And I'm going to show you a bit of that one right now so you can see what the crew's all about.
When the evil Empire ruled the galaxy.
It's over, Jedi.
A small band of heroes joined forces.
Ezra, come with us.
And ignited.
Now.
Rebellion.
Incoming!
October 13th.
Entering hyperspace.
Join.
Oh, yeah, just cut it. Sweet. Anyone else excited that Freddie Prinze Jr. had a line in that?
Yeah, I am too.
I like Freddie Prinze Jr. as a voice actor. I'm a big fan of the Mass Effect trilogy.
Yeah, he was great.
He did a great job with that character.
Yeah.
Or his character in that.
And he's doing Dragon Age Inquisition as well.
Ooh,
yeah.
Which is another good reason to play it.
Mm-hmm. And he is a big Star Wars fan, as we know, so I'm glad that he's getting this moment. Josh, are you excited for Rebels?
Yes and no. Like, whenever we go
Fair answer.
Yeah, anytime we go into a Star Wars cartoon, like, you have to remember, like...
It's for the kids.
Yes. Mm. Like, episode 1, 2, and 3, as adults, we had our problems with it, but kids love the prequels. They mm-hmm. really do. And then the Clone Wars had, especially in the first two seasons, had a good balance of, all right, this episode was for the kids, this episode was for the fans. And then they eventually evolved into kids are already attached to it. Now we just have a fan-driven show.
Yep.
This new one, obviously the look and feel of it and some of the jokes are very kid-oriented. So is it going to drive more towards them? And will I enjoy it as a Star Wars fan and as an adult? I don't know. I'm excited because it is Star Wars, and I was liking Zeb. I mm-hmm. liked his stuff. I'm going to give it a few seasons.
All right. Well, October 13 is when it's coming out, as we heard.
I like those trailers, though. I like what I like about this series, what I'm looking forward to it, is that it has that old feel of things we know. TIE Fighters, Stormtroopers, Imperials. Mm-hmm. As much as I love the Clone Wars, I love the Clone Wars.
But they were homage to the prequels.
Mm-hmm. And also, you're right. We forget as adults there's some kid stuff there. I really recently recommended the Clone Wars to a friend of mine. He's loving it, except for he came down, sat me down, and he's like, you didn't tell me about like the 5-episode arc of like droids and a frog running around. And I'm like, yeah, you got to kind of work through some of that stuff. I'm sure there'll be some of that in Rebels. But
what I think is really going to work for Rebels is the main character or the point of view for the Clone Wars was a young child. Mm-hmm. Whereas this one is you have an older, maybe like young adult with like a strong crew around him, almost fitting like the same algorithm that Firefly had.
I was going to say Guardians as well, which is the same sort of thing.
Exactly. Mm. So I think it'll be easier for a older demographic to attach to, and I think that's going for it, and it'll make it a strong success.
Woohoo!
And I'm about eight or nine chapters into the book, A New Dawn, which is the prequel to this series.
And which isn't out yet, which is why he's mentioning it, so he can rub it in.
That's right. Me and Head Schmo Darth Harloff are doing a little book club together on this. We cuddle in bed on the weekends and read. Yeah, a little nightlight. We share it.
May the force be on you.
We are both having... We like it. I more than him feel it's a little slow, but the characters are great, and Christian's going to come on. We're going to talk about it when we're done reading the book.
Awesome.
But it's getting me a little excited for Rebels.
Okay. All right. And the third story, Star Wars Commander is out now for free on iOS. Mm. Now, we've got it on our iPads.
That's right. In fact, I should probably check right now if my stormtroopers are done building.
So this is the problem. We'll talk about the game. It's by Disney Interactive and Lucasfilm. It's free to play. It's a combat strategy game exclusive for iOS first. Obviously, it's going to go into Android, et cetera, on other different templates and tablet formations. Mm-hmm. It's very, very, very similar to Clash of the Clans, which is what I used to play. I put about a year into that game. So,
how much actual real dollars did you put into that game?
About $60.
They got you.
But I'll never
see
it again.
That's pretty good for a year. I've already put about $40 into Star Wars here.
No!
Yeah. At least that's Star Wars branded. It goes to a good cost.
I also considered a little bit of research, right, for the show here, right?
Of course.
Right?
I'll claim it on tax somehow.
Yeah.
Right,
so as we're live on air here or recording here, I'm going to make sure my alloy and my money is growing, so by the time the show's over, I can build some more AT-STs.
Where are all your turrets, dude?
I spread my guns out. I don't put them all in one area. That's a bit of a bad strategy. I recommend putting them all in one area.
Alrighty.
But we have a trailer of the game, so for those of you who want to join, because I have a squad, and maybe you out there listening want to join my Stomping Wampas squad on Star Wars Commander. Wampas. Josh, go ahead and play it.
The Empire would find your skills useful. Take over the galaxy as the Empire. Or command rebel heroes to restore freedom.
I do hope you haven't been fooled by the Empire's propaganda.
So obviously from that, you can tell that you can go on the Rebel Alliance or the Galactic Empire, recruit your armies, build the vehicles. There's familiar faces all the way through it. You can play as Chewie. This is for my side because I'm obviously chosen the light side. Nice Chewie noise. Thank you. Han Solo, et cetera, but I mean, I already regret choosing to be in the Rebellion.
Good.
I know this is the first time I'm kind of going to the dark side.
I told you, it's those baby steps.
Yeah, it's a fun game. I've already lost about 9 hours of my life in like 2.5 days. And I only stopped because I had to sleep and I had to work. But it's fun. Some of the battle play is a little frustrating for me. The AI is not perfect. So I'll have a walker shooting at the wall.
There is a Wumpa attacking you right now. Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? He's right there.
So, but it's fun. You have a chance to sample this yet, Josh?
I see. Here's the downfall to being very much against Apple.
I know. I get you.
I'm a big Android fan. I like everything about their phones, far superior to the iPhone, in my opinion. Send your hate my way, please. But the downfall in this is that I don't get the chance to play these cool games when they show up on Apple platforms.
Maybe you'll get that.
It seems like it's going to be very popular. In that case, please. Please put it on Android so I can play.
Patience, young Padawan.
I am a Sith. I can't do the patience either.
Star Wars!
Ha!
Yes! Pick a card. Obviously, Star Wars trivia. You may not know this, Josh, but what we do is select a card. Whoever yells it, the other one has to do the card, and I will quiz you. So far, you are winning. I forget the score, but it is up
16-13.
It's up on the Jedi Alliance Instagram page. Are you ready?
Or is it just me? Can I draft Josh in?
I'm going to shout out whether the rules allow for it or not.
Okay,
then we're going to be on the same team. I'm going to choose a guest in my corner.
The answer.
All right, we're alrighty together here. You got to help me.
Who tells Luke, I shall enjoy watching you die?
Oh my gosh. Why am I drawing a blank? Because it's because Harloff's in the room.
Five,
I know.
5, 4, 3, 2, say something.
The Emperor.
Jabba the Hutt.
Oh gosh. Wow.
My brain just doesn't work that way. I know. I'm going through like all the audio files. I'm like, no one ever says those words to him. Because he didn't say those words to him.
Yeah.
I should have gone, with a little
all right, next question. I got this. We're back.
What vessels did Lando refer to when noting, we might just take a few of them with us?
Star Destroyers.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Who told Luke Skywalker he couldn't attend the Academy?
Wedge. No, not Wedge. His uncle.
You know. Uncle Owen Lars.
That's the one. What planet was Luke over when he announced over his comlink, I'm not picking up any cities or technology?
Well, Dagobah, Yoda's hometown, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What Ewok warrior discovered Princess Leia?
Wicket.
Yes. And how many times did Vader ignite his lightsaber during his duel with Luke on the second Death Star?
On the second Death Star?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, one for when he swings at Palpatine, two at perhaps your sister will, and I'm gonna say three.
Okay.
Only because I feel like I could be missing one. There's a lot of stuff. Oh, no. I was trying to think when he tripped on his cape. No.
We'll go three.
What do you want to say?
I want to say two.
You're the Star Wars expert. It's two.
Oh, see.
All right, no. So that was 4 out of 6.
4 out of 6.
See, brings you to 20, your total.
Had I been more confident with myself, I would have been right.
That's good.
But
that's
I was expecting to be wrong.
It was an interesting strategy on my part because that means when I challenge her, she's got to play by herself.
No. I don't think we can stop him even if there's rules involved.
All right, we'll get him involved. All right.
The whole scam.
He'll shock you.
Maybe we'll join
him. I'm tapping you every time I tap. It's like a zap.
All right, it's time for Duel of the Fates, our weekly Star Wars debate. We take two things, we put them in a corner, and we talk about it here. And then on our Facebook page, the Jedi Alliance on the Schmoes Know Network, you will get to weigh in and help us decide the eventual winner. So far, we've had, Admiral Ackbar won last week. We've had the Better Death went to the Emperor over Jabba the Hutt. And in the first week, X-Wing, classic X-Wing over classic TIE Fighter. That's right. How did that go again?
No!
As determined by Family Garrett on Boxing Day. So this week we've got I think this is going to be a very hotly debated topic. It is, what is the better ship, Slave One or the Millennium Falcon?
Now, before we step into that debate, I do need to throw in my opinion about the Admiral Ackbar. He can't win. He walked into a very obvious trap. How did he not see that? How
does
that
make him a better general? Because his eyes are on the side of his head.
Okay.
Seeing anything is quite a struggle.
There you go.
Fair enough. All right. Mod Mothma, do you want to start this week's debate?
You betcha.
Okay, what do you got?
Oh, the fastest hunk of junk in the galaxy.
You're going with the Falcon.
I am going with the Falcon. So it is the better ship to fly for a number of reasons. Mm-hmm. It's bigger. I am a tall woman. I like my leg room. So the fact that there is different storage compartments in there to hide in, which has successfully worked before, is a bonus as well. Two seats up the front. There's a little gaming area in there as well.
For you. Okay, for you, that makes sense, yeah.
And then, of course, you've got your cockpit and you're
and your guns?
Thank
your pew-pew-pews?
My pew-pew-pews. The fact that the owners of the majority of the time of its existence has been Han and Chewie is awesome.
Okay.
He's modified it up completely, which I love.
Because he's needed to, yeah.
It is a piece of junk. Leia was like, wow, you flew in that thing? You're braver than I thought. You know, so it doesn't look great, but it has survived an asteroid field, which was 1,730
to one.
Around that number.
Never
tell them the odds. Sorry, I keep telling you the odds. So I love the fact that it is flat there and then it can go vertical, which has helped on many, many occasions.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that also Han won it in a bet, I think's great. And from Lando Calrissian, who won it in a bet from someone else who couldn't pay his debts. Mm. So I think that history behind it, it's really, really fun.
Well, you know, you're not wrong.
Okay.
But I'm going to go with Slave One, and we're going to let him be the tiebreaker here on set. Mm-hmm. Slave One is, look, Falcon is great. And I agree with you. It's a good place to hang out. It's kind of like a scoundrel pulling up to go on a date in like one of those old vans with some shag carpet in the back.
Shagging wagon.
And like, hey, get on my van. It doesn't look like much, but it's got to where it counts.
It's got grunt.
Slave One is like that classy sport car sedan type of thing that you're going to cruise around with, and people look at it and go, look at that ship. And I love that it's got some, you can fly it up sideways. Mm. And the weaponry just for this tiny little ship that's just one man trolling around the galaxy looking for bounties.
Sounds so lonely.
It is. I kind of like my solitude. Okay. I don't need my loyal dog with me playing chess. All right?
Wow.
I love Chewie. I love Chewbacca.
Awesome. Favorite character
but
as well.
I'm sure Chewbacca gets a little musky during the winter, and you got to be in the ship with him there. This is me, my helmet, and myself, and maybe a dude in carbonite in the back. And the weaponry is cool. We already discussed one of my favorite sounds in all of the Star Wars universe. This is sonic charging.
From episode 2?
Yeah, it's basically dubstep or a Transformer movie.
I love it. So I am going with Slave One.
Now, both ships are great for different situations, but the Millennium Falcon did run the Kessel Run in under 12 parsecs.
Yeah.
Now, before we say that I'm siding with the Millennium Falcon, parsecs aren't a measurement of speed. And I like to apply to the theory that Han was just lying when he said that.
He's a bit of a scoundrel.
Anytime he's ever said that it's a fast ship, he's talking to Obi-Wan or he's talking to Luke Skywalker.
Paul, he's talking to Lando Calrissian. During Death Star 2.0, he said, you have to take it because she is the fastest ship in the fleet. The speed is the only selling point.
In the fleet. So you're dealing with X-Wings.
Those medical cruisers.
The A-Wings, yes, are fast, but not as fast as the Millennium Falcon.
Speed.
Most things, including my grandmother, can beat a Y-Wing. All right.
So, of course, you had to take the Millennium Falcon. Whereas the Slave One is made for tracking down his bounty.
This is your fantasy of becoming an actual bounty hunter, though.
It kind of does all fall into place. It's all part of the theme. So, it's just the better, well-rounded ship. It works. It was able to keep up with the Millennium Falcon, so it couldn't be that fast. The weapons on it, just everything that you need. And it's actually quite spacious. I mentioned the Tales of the Bounty Hunters earlier, where Dengar was just kind of chilling with Boba Fett in the Slave One. You can fit other people in there. You can hang out. You can play some chess if you want to.
You wouldn't.
You probably not.
Okay. All right, so we're 2-1 here on the set, but it is up to you, the fans of the Jedi Alliance, to decide. So you're going to go to our Facebook page.
Absolutely. Just search the Jedi Alliance on the Schmoes No Network. Tell us, what do you think the better ship is? Is it the Millennium Falcon or is it Slave One? We'd love to hear your thoughts. We'll calculate them and let you know who wins next episode.
That's right. It's one of our favorite segments. You guys love getting into it, and we love reading everything you say and help us deciding all these things in the galaxy. So we're going to go on to Force Dawn next, but before I do that, I'm going to challenge you to a star pause.
Okay. Josh, can you please help me?
Oh, you're darn right I'm going to help. This
all right.
is fun.
Thank you.
Who wants to pick the card?
He can, because then okay. I can blame him on him if it's a bad
yes.
one. Thank you. But I'm the, right. I'm still Jedi, like I'm still a Padawan.
All right, still, perfect. I still He's look for the got good the in card people. Here.
Okay.
All right, perfect question to start here. Who did Boba Fett refer to when he told Vader, "He's no good to me, dead"?
Han Solo.
You?
Who issued
oh,
the order
for the win?
Who
oh,
issued?
An amazing shirt.
Don't do that again.
Sorry.
Who issued the order for the second Death Star to fire its prime weapon?
Who issued it?
Yeah.
I want to say. Who else would? Is there, oh, it's like a General Tarkin or some crap like that.
Piet died on Battle of Hoth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who? I mean, Vader made the first call. Vader made the first call for Alderaan.
Mm-hmm.
But did he make the second one to focus all of his firepower on onto what? Well,
this is in Return of the Jedi. Who gave the order for the second Death Star to fire its prime weapon?
Josh.
Five. Oh, four. Three.
I'm going to say Tarkin because you look smart.
One. Wait, no. Tarkin, he's dead.
He's dead.
Oh, he is.
Grand Moff Tarkin died in the first one.
I'm going to need an answer here.
Shit.
Starts with a G?
Is that your answer? Ali G?
My answer is it starts with a G.
All right. All right. The answer, of course, is the Emperor. Fire at will, Commander.
I thought that was the first one.
Mm.
It wasn't the...
No, Vader made the call for the first one.
Okay.
To test the fire.
All right, 1 point out of two. Here. Okay. All right, okay. What four-word phrase describes the time frame of the Star Wars movies according to the opening text?
A long time ago.
Yeah. Who first located the tractor beam power stations aboard the Death Star?
One more time.
Who first located the tractor beam power stations aboard the Death Star?
C-3PO.
R2, because he can get into the network.
Oh.
That's the correct answer. Yeah. R2-D2, I'll give that to you. Three out of four. All right. How many Gamorrean guards tried to block Luke's passage into Jabba's throne room?
I want to say two.
Yep, two. Two axes.
That is it. That is it. Final question. What two words finally convince Han to help rescue Princess Leia, you scoundrel?
It wasn't about her. It was about money. So what two words convinced him?
Yeah.
You'll be rich is three.
She's rich.
Oh, yeah.
That's your answer.
Woo! All right. We got the same.
Five out of six.
All right. Okay.
You brought draw close. My poor performance today means you are in striking distance. You are one ion cannon blast away from taking me down. That's 2018 in the Star Wars Challenge. And we'll continue with that as we go along. And new segments are coming with the show, but Star Wars, it's one of my favorite things to battle you
in
trivia.
It really is. Yeah, it keeps me on my toes as well.
All right. We're going to go to the next segment called Forced On. There's a lot of things in the Star Wars universe. We like to take one thing and force it on you during an episode. In a good way.
Yeah, we're going to force feed you all the information that you need to know about it and get you excited. Maybe you've heard about it. Maybe you haven't. This one I have not, so I'm looking forward to you, Master Kenobi, teaching me about this.
Let's go to the comic book shop. The Dark Horse series, which sadly this company loses the license to their comics this year to Marvel, was kind of an expected decision. They've done a great job over the years. Some of it's wild, out of canon stuff, but this is actual pure canon. Mm-hmm. It is the four-issue arc, Darth Maul, son of Dathomir, which is actually a Clone Wars episode arc that did not air on the show because the show, of course, was canceled. The episodes weren't completed. It would have been part of the sixth season. As you know, Darth Maul came back during the Clone Wars. With robo legs. When you guys heard about that, what did you think when Maul was coming back and that's how he came back?
He ain't going to have kids.
Good point.
The first thing I thought was, yeah, that makes sense. You had to bring him back. He was a fan favorite that we never got enough of, and this was the only way you could do it.
He's going to have a colostomy bag on him somewhere.
Some point.
That's
gotta,
not sexy.
Yeah, there was things that logistically
you
weren't working out.
No, I would think.
I like how he poops is really where my mind goes.
That's where it went. Well, this series, again, four issues. It's trade paperback is coming out in October. It's great. Jeremy Barlow is the writer. And it. I don't want to give away too much of the plot, but the art is great. Josh, you were looking at the art. Look at those covers.
The art from the Dark Horse Star Wars comics have always been really, really good. But this is a picture of Darth Maul that I'd get that on my wall in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the cover art was done by Chris Scalf. That's the name of the cover artist. He did a great job. The series has Grievous, Count Dooku.
I'm so sick of Grievous.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just like, cough it up, whatever you've got.
Well, but see, in this part, you know, this is a very active Grievous. Mm-hmm. And he and Dooku actually get captured by Darth Maul, and it's all part of a plot to draw out Mother Talzin, who is the mother, so to speak. She's the head witch of the Night Sisters, as you saw in the Clone Wars. If you got that, you didn't see that part in the Clone Wars yet.
I'm not there yet.
All right. And also, it ties into, it's not officially canon, and I hope one day it is, but that book, Darth Plagueis, has a lot of stuff in it with Maul and Mother Talzin, and it all kind of comes together. It's a quick 4-issue arc, and there's a lot of action. You get to see, well, you get to see the Emperor kind of show up and wreck some shop, and it is fun to kind of watch all these characters in action.
The Emperor is like a stain in your clothes that will not wash out. He's in everything. He will not die.
And because this is a canon series, the interesting side note, this is, they actually go to a planet, and it's the first time in anything in the Star Wars universe that we see this planet.
What's it called?
Ord Mantell.
Oh.
Oh my god, another thing that rhymes with Maud.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so narcissistic.
Which, of course.
Do you remember the Star Wars TCG, or CCG as it was?
I don't.
So it was the Star Wars card game that was in the 90s, I believe 90s, and you played it by each player starting with a planet. No, but they had that planet, and no one ever really, it was one of the best planets to use in the game,
right.
But they had obviously very little information on it.
And it is famously mentioned in Empire Strikes Back by... No.
Stop looking at me like I know the answer.
Han Solo says that bounty hunter ran to an Ord Mantell. Changed my mind.
Yes.
So this is the first time in canon that we get to see the planet.
That's pretty cool.
And they actually go there. So I highly recommend this series.
So how much is it, and where can we get it if we want to?
The trade paperback is coming out in October. So if you want to go to your comic book shop now and pick up these four issues if they have them, or wait for the trade to come out in October, or you can just show up at my house and maybe I'll let you borrow. I highly recommend this series. Dark Horse has done a great job. The Brian Wood series that's about 20 issues in, that's coming to a close as well, that's been running the last 2 years. Fantastic job. Again, not canon. It's got to go away and flitter into the universe.
Yeah,
but some great stuff.
The canon reset done by Lucas as of recently.
Also, like I said, this was from an unproduced Clone Wars scripts. They're also going to do a book on Asajj Ventress based on some unproduced scripts there. That character kind of had an open end in that series. Ahsoka Tano as well. I hope that character pops back as well. So anyways, Forced On for this week, the Darth Maul comic series. Check it out. Darth Maul, son of Dathomir.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we do like to finish things off at Jedi Alliance by looking back at the lives that were lost in a really sad and unfortunate way. A life that you maybe had no thought about before until now. The official obituary called In Memory.
That's right. So far, we have paid tribute to the memories of fallen warriors who gave the ultimate sacrifice for the causes they believed in. A biker scout, an Imperial Walker gunner, a veteran rebel soldier on that Tantive IV at the beginning of New Hope. But today, we pay tribute to a being who lost his life simply because he was doing his job. His name is Snort of Clan Grakfed from the planet Gamor. That's right, a Gamorrean guard. He was in the employ of Jabba the Hutt. He died when a man claiming to be the last Jedi Knight and a friend to known criminal Han Solo attempted to assassinate his boss. Snort's laser blaster was ripped from his holster by the so-called Jedi, probably with some sort of force power. And these Jedis are supposed to be defenders of peace and justice in the galaxy, but here...
That's aggressive.
Very aggressive. His gun went flying, so the simple-minded yet loyal Gamorrean guard tried to wrestle the blaster out of the Jedi's hands, but suddenly found himself free-falling down a trapdoor alongside the Jedi. Snort jumped to his feet, but he knew what had happened, and he knew where he was. They had been sent to the pit of the Rancor monster, Jabba's favorite and most trusted method of executing those whom he did not like or need. Snort, who had worked at the palace of the vile gangster for over 10 standard years, met his death squealing and flailing as the Rancor monster devoured him, much to the pleasure of the denizens of Jabba's court. A simple pig man doing a simple job, paying with his life. Snort was survived by his sow bride and 6 children called feeders and 4 children called shoats. He was 32 standard years of age.
He had 10 children.
Rest in peace, Snort. Rest in peace.
It's very unfortunate. That was beautifully put.
He's just a simple pig man doing his job, right? We got to pay tribute to that. doing work for this guy, Jabba the Hutt. And that is another episode of the Jedi Alliance. It has been a fun, fast-paced show today. I'm so glad we had Joshua Ovenshire here to talk Star Wars finally.
I had so much fun being here. Thank you so much. Like, I got giddy when I was asked to come onto the show. I was like, Star Wars, yes!
My favorite things to hear from him was he was actually debating Falcon Slave 1 by himself out loud.
Out loud, last night. Like, all right, well, the Falcon brings this to the table, but you really can't take this away from the Slave 1. And it just, like, back and forth. I sounded like Smeagol. Aww. Just kind of sitting there like, yes, the Millennium Falcon 12 per 6. Excellent.
I told you there would be impressions and fascinations. Absolutely. That was a good one.
And hey, we're going to see you on the Schmozno movie show, the main show, on September 4th.
And I'm very much looking for that. We're talking about the fall season of movies.
That's right. Fall movie preview. So check that out September 4th here. You can watch that live on Schmozno.com, 6 p.m. PST, Thursday, September 4th. The big fall movie preview with that one. So so glad to have you in here. Go ahead and plug yourself away, man.
Again, guys, I'm Josh Ovenshire, at The Jovenshire on the Twitter and Instagrams. You can find me on Smosh Games. Check us out there. I also do a show called Bad Motivators, where we talk about all the geeky news from the week that you need to know about on my personal YouTube channel, The Jovenshire. See a theme? Just run with it.
Absolutely see a theme. And we know on the way home, you're going to be singing the Jawa song to yourself.
Oh. Sorry, that was my bad. I had it in my head. If you are watching this one, make sure you like it and subscribe to the channel because, you know, we have an internal competition and we are very competitive, so we want to win. Also, there are other shows. So there's Profiles, Guilty Pleasures, Meet the Movie Press, and The Main Show, which we have spoken about.
The Rate Schmo's and Review, No Movie Show.
Rate and review on iTunes as well, because clicking 5 stars and writing a little review definitely does help, and we want to get back to I want position 4.
You want to get back to 4?
That's the official Star Wars number.
Okay.
The 4th.
I think we're going to be there. And don't forget, we also, you can watch it on YouTube and subscribe to youtube.com/schmozno podcast. And that's where you can get all the shows from the Schmozno Network. And like I said, Guilty Pleasures, Profiles, Meet the Movie Press, The Main Show. And there's a lot more to come from the Schmozno Network. It has been a lot of fun. And there's some great shows. I know I can't announce them yet officially, but I know there's some great stuff the fans are going to like. So find our show on there. Comment away. We try to get back to you some of your comments, even the negative ones.
Yeah.
We'll try to get in there and pat you on the head and say thanks for playing. But we appreciate you all so much for paying attention and watching us talk about Star Wars.
Thank you so much for listening to the Jedi Alliance, because many Bothans died to bring us this information.
For producers Christian Harloff, Mark Ellis, and the entire Schmozno Network crew, we would like to thank you for listening to the Jedi Alliance on the Schmozno Network. Special thanks to Kevin Undergaro and Maria Menounos, the author of Every Girl's Guide to Diet and Fitness, in stores now. To watch or listen to other Schmozno Network episodes, get movie news, and join the conversation, be sure to visit schmozno.com and find the Jedi Alliance on iTunes and subscribe, rate, and review. I'm the Pit Boss, and this has been a presentation of Schmozno.